For this week's Images of the Past, we look at the man behind the museum. It's a look at W.E. Adams, and here for that conversation is Jessica Michak. She's an archivist for Deadwood History Incorporated and the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center. Jessica, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about W.E. Adams and where he came from. How did he end up in Deadwood?
Well, he was born in Michigan in 1854. And then his family soon moved to Minnesota, where they were involved in farming. He was pretty close with his family, especially his mother. And when he was a teenager, you know, I think he already at a young age had a pretty good work ethic. So he moved away from his family to Minneapolis to work for the American Express Company. Hmm. And they were involved in freighting at the time.
No credit cards yet, huh?
Yeah, no credit cards yet. So he had a job pretty young. And then in 1877, he decided to move to Pioneer and to move out west. And he came down on the Bismarck Trail with his brother and wound up in Deadwood in 1877.
Now, in Deadwood, is he one of those people that you hear the name all the time, like Calamity Jane or Wild Bill Hickok or Seth Bullock? Is he another one of those sort of great founding fathers of that city in a different sort of character way?
I think so, but kind of in a different way. I think when people hear Wild Bill and Calamity Jane, they immediately, you know, kind of know the story. They've heard of them before. And W.E. Adams, it's like, you've heard that name many times, but a lot of people don't really know the history of it or who exactly he was or what exactly he did.
So what does he come out here for? What is his goal? Is he homesteading? Is he opening a business? What are his intentions?
I think he came out initially as a pioneer. I know he tried to mine a little bit right at the beginning, and that didn't quite work out. So he pretty quickly realized that he could make money in another way by providing, you know, some of the things that the miners needed, and trying to sell that way. And he was pretty successful with his brother in that business, as a grocer and a retail business.
So there's a lot of different buildings that he somehow has either moved into or left his mark on. Tell me a little bit about the different sort of buildings that he moved to and from in the city, both as a businessman and as in his personal life.
Okay. Well, he started out in his business kind of in a canvas tent on Main Street, and then as the entire city kind of built up, he moved around on Main Street in a couple different properties, sometimes for necessity. One of his buildings burnt down in the fire of 1879, so they were forced to rebuild and move to another location. And then also he just moved around kind of as he built the business up, you know, to expand and to grow into a different place. You know, he went from a one-story to a two-story and that kind of thing. So he moved those buildings several times. And then by 1894, he had become so successful that he started building a property on Sherman Street, and that started as a two-story building, and then over the next 15 years, he continually built it up into a four-story warehouse, and then he was just simply in the warehousing, or the wholesaling grocer business, as opposed to retail.
So he moves from retail to wholesale at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he a family man? Does he have a family here?
Yeah, he was. He was a pretty devoted family man. He married a local girl. She was from a town a mile away named Alice Burnham. And he married her in 1880, and together they had two daughters. Lucille, the eldest, was born in 1884, and Helen, the youngest, was 1892, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was able, you know, through his business to kind of provide a pretty good lifestyle for them. They traveled back and forth to California, where he had family, and you know, when automobiles came out, he had a pretty good love for those. So
really?
The family got to experience that as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Give me an idea how the town itself sort of evolves with him and with his business. How is Deadwood changing at this time?
Well, it initially started out, you know, mining, and then kind of in the later decades as that died down, W.E. was responsible with some other civic leaders in the community for kind of turning that around and making it kind of a more established and refined city. Hmm. You know, like he was, he did a lot of things like for infrastructure. He was, he made a campaign to have paved, like Main Street paved with bricks.
Hmm.
And then he was responsible for creating a couple parks for children and just kind of doing a lot of activities and things that made the city itself better. He served as mayor for 6 terms and kind of was responsible for the economics of the city and growing the city to just be able to be self-supportive, you know, after placer mining had kind of died down.
So where did that sort of business wisdom come from in his, political savvy and all that stuff? Was that something that you can, that we tie it all back to his origins or his family relationship, or was he just sort of a self-made man?
I think most of that is pretty self-made. Like, I think he had kind of those ambitions at a young age and just was able to pick up things along the way. But yeah, he was definitely very good with business affairs and managing money and, you know, his moving around businesses and even homes. Like, he built his first home and then just moved around to several different residences, kind of as a show of wealth and prominence. Like, each time he moved, you know, he was kind of moving on up as he went along.
Hmm.
You know, and by the 1920, he moved into the Victorian mansion that was built in 1892 that we currently operate as the Historic Adams House. So, you know, by that point in his career, it was, you know, this great show of wealth, and he really was self-made. He had done all that kind of by himself and picking things up along the way.
Sure. What kind of person was he? Was he the kind of person people enjoyed talking to, or was he sort of standoffish in his wealth and influence?
No, I don't think he was standoffish at all. Hmm. He was super involved in the community, and everything that we have kind of indicates that he was super approachable as well. You know, people in the community could go up and talk to him about anything is how it seemed. He was always described as being very friendly and, you know, very concerned about the life and welfare of his community and his city. And, you know, this is where he had moved from 1877 to make his home. And I think he really did that. And he was very involved in the community and cared about its welfare.
So let's talk about the museum itself for a few minutes. He decides to, you know, what sort of motivates him to create a museum or gift that to the people of Deadwood?
I think he had multiple reasons for wanting to create something like this. He and some of the other community leaders at the time, so it would be like the late 1920s, they kind of saw some of their history slipping away. And a lot of these historical artifacts or relics were being taken out of the area or not being properly cared for. And so he and these other community leaders, specifically the Deadwood Businessmen's Club, they recognize a need, you know, to have somewhere to house these items and to protect the history of the city before it kind of slipped away. So they approached, the Businessmen's Club approached W.E. about it, and he agreed and recognized it and agreed to take on the financial burden of it. So when all was said and done, it cost a total of $75,000, and he was very involved in, you know, picking out the site and the construction, and, you know, he picked the site right across the street from his grocer business. So,
sure.
You know, yet it was very close to his heart, you can tell. And then the second reason kind of driving his personal interest in creating this structure is I think he'd been looking for several years to create kind of a memorial type thing for his family, who had died pretty tragically. So his eldest daughter had married decades earlier, and then she passed away in 1912 of typhoid fever. And then in 1925, his first wife Alice and his youngest daughter Helen, both died very tragically within hours of each other while he was in Deadwood and they were in California.
Hmm.
So the wife had stomach cancer, and the youngest daughter died in childbirth, and she lost the baby as well.
Wow.
So, it was just kind of a super tragedy that he never really got over, but, you know, he was able to find happiness later in life with his second wife. But he had always kind of kept this in mind and wanted something to dedicate to those two.
Jessica, we want to say thank you so much for joining us today. It's a compelling story. Check out the W.E. Adams Museum and find more and some images and some video of this by going online sdpb.org/images of the past. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you.